I'm excited this morning because as we gather together as God's people and we open his word, he speaks. And I know and I'm confident that he'll do that this morning. And I've had a glimpse of what he's going to speak to us, and I'm excited about it. I'm also excited this morning because once a month we try to have an all-age service, which means that there's no Sunday club, no Sunday school, no explorers out there like there normally would be, and we all stay together, everybody from youngest to oldest. And I was trying to think yesterday of anywhere else where you get really very young people and... and then a whole age range, all together, doing something together. I think that is very rare, and I think it's very wonderful to look around and see younger, young and older. Young and older, that's what they are, aren't they? They're just older. Yeah. Young and older, all together, to hear from the Lord together. Let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for that beautiful blue sky and sunshine. Thank you for fans that keep us cooler. Thank you for this building that is cooler than outside. We praise you for bringing us together. We praise you for giving us each other. And we ask that you would meet with us this morning. You would show us amazing things in your word, the Bible. You would teach us things, please. Please would you speak to our hearts and encourage us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put it on the screen. And I just want you to think of the answer in your head, okay? You don't need to tell anybody. I just want you to think of the answer in your head. Here we go. Here's the question. Where do you go for help? Just think in your head, how do you answer that question? I wonder what your reaction is. I wonder what your answer is. Maybe you could share it with somebody later. I guess in many ways it depends what the problem is, doesn't it? It depends what the problem is. I think you're going to be able to help me with these. Here we go. Here's a problem. Where do they need to go? What do you think? To the ambulance, maybe, very possible. Where do we think we need to go first? What do you think?
Safety.
Any ideas? Safety, good idea. Who should we call?
Firemen.
And they, what are they? I mean, I guess they look a bit like, they look a bit like this. This looks like a cool truck, doesn't it? I'd like to explore one of those. Do you want to have a go on one of those one day? Go and attack a fire? We call the fire brigade. My friend, he's only 3, but he fell over on Wednesday, and he hurt his arm really badly, and he was crying. And first he said, Mum and Dad, well, he didn't actually. He just screamed a lot, as if to say, Mum and Dad, help. What do you think they did then? Who did they call for help next? 2 right, they did. They called, well, actually, what they did is they called 111, and they spoke to the helpers there, and they said, I think you need to go to the A&E, go to hospital. So they got in a car, and they went, a bit like being in an ambulance, they went and got some help from, who did they get help from? The doctor. Emmanuel said it at the back. Well done, doctor. Okay, I've had a problem recently with one of these. It's a bit harder, this one. Who do I call for help with one of these? Tow truck to left, take the tree away. That could be quite good. Any other thoughts? I heard some murmurings. Nigel, come on. The council. Yeah, I mean, maybe. And then who did the council call? The tree surgeon. Very good. What about this? What about this?
An engineer.
Yeah, possibly. I think there are 2 good answers to this one. Plumber might be one. Here we are. Here we go. Here's my best plumber picture that I could find on Google. Plumber. Who else might I call? Bigger company. Thames Water. Get them on the phone. Here, we've got a pipe problem. You might have trouble. Last one then. I've got a problem with my roof. Who am I going to call?
The builder.
Here's a builder. He looks a bit cross, but he looks like he's doing a very good job of measuring and fixing this roof. So I think I'm going to call him. I don't know what his name is. What should we call him, Emmanuel?
Bob.
Bob, yep. Yep, that feels like an appropriate name, I think. I think we're collectively quite good at knowing who to call when we need help. This church, this local church, every year we've had a verse of the year. Maybe some of you can remember it. We had a verse of the year for this year. Josh and Benji can remember it. Can anybody else remember it? Good. There were some not very confident sort of slight hands up. But I think we've got there. Here we go. This is what it looks like. Maybe you've got one of these stuck up on your fridge or your cupboard. If you don't, you can have one because I've got lots. They're on the table over there. You can take one away. Here's the thing. All those other people who are very good at giving help, the builders, the ambulance, the doctors, the firefighters, they're really good at giving help. But ultimately, all help comes from the Lord. All help comes from the Lord. And so we want to call the fire brigade, but first of all, we want to cry out to God for help. We're going to say this verse together, and there are some actions, which I can't very easily remember, but I'm pretty confident that Benji and Josh know the actions. Can you come up here and help me? Okay, you stay there, and you tell me what to do, and I'll show everybody else, okay? So we're going to say this together. We're going to say it together without the actions, and then we'll practice the actions, okay? Should we say it together? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 2. Now, we've got some actions. My help, what's that one, Josh? This, okay? And I think you just sort of pull it towards you a bit. My help. I need help. My help comes from. How do I do that? Comes from, I think. I think we do a little comes from. Comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Well, then what? The maker. How do we do that? The maker of heaven and earth. Do you think we can have a go at saying it and doing the actions? I think it might be quite difficult. I find saying things and doing things all at the same time very hard. So I'm gonna, if I get it wrong, can I look at you and you'll be doing it and you can help me? Okay? Psalm 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Very good. We're going to sing a couple of songs that just get us thinking about that verse a little bit. And then I'm going to tell us what we're doing next. Why don't you stand and we're going to sing. What I want us to do this morning is have this verse in mind, okay, our verse of the year, as we look at another story from Scripture, okay? If you didn't get a Bible, pop your hand up and Veeman will rush over with one. But I think he's okay. I think you're okay, Veeman. I think everybody's got a Bible. Very good. If you would turn with me to page 988. 988, we're in Matthew chapter 20. When you found it, have a look up here. And I'm going to say a couple of things and then we'll read it together. 988, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at a story together of two men who meet Jesus and ask him for help. And it's just worth catching us up a little bit. The last couple of chapters of this story, Jesus has been doing some ridiculously amazing things. Okay? And Matthew, who's writing this true story of Jesus, is trying to help us see that Jesus really is God's king. And more than that, Jesus really is God in the flesh on the earth. That's 19 chapters of summary, okay? Jesus really is God's king. Jesus really is God in the flesh. And we're in Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to read from verse 29, the left-hand side, at the bottom of the page, the little number 29. And I just want you to ask yourself in your head, what happens when two men ask Jesus for help? Okay, can you think about that as we read? What happens when two men ask Jesus for help? Verse 29 of Matthew chapter 20. Left-hand side, bottom of the page, the little number 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Jesus and his followers, they're leaving Jericho and they're going to Jerusalem. And there's a huge crowd with them. Maybe it's a bit like trying to get on the underground at Seven Sisters in the morning. Don't know if you've tried to do that. Very difficult. Big crowd. And did you notice who's sitting by the roadside? Did you notice? Did you notice? Two blind men sitting on the roadside. Can you imagine sitting by the side of a road while loads and loads of people walk past? There must have been all sorts of dust and muck and dirt. I wonder what you imagine life would have been like for those two blind men. Okay, imagine you're the two blind men sitting on the roadside. What can you hear? I want some answers at this point. Big crowd, you're sat on the roadside. What can you hear? Lots of noise. What kind of noise? Chatter. What else? Yelling. What else? Feet. Anything else? It's the first century. What else might be there in this big crowd? Pardon? Walking. Yeah, people stomping their feet. Huh? Animals, sheep, donkeys. Anybody got a good sheep noise? Yeah, okay. You begin to get the idea. Lots of noise. What can they hear? Lots of noises. What do you think they can smell? People, animal poo, feet. Do you know, those are the exact three answers that I thought about. That's what I was going to say. Animal poo, stinky feet, and sweaty people. That's what they can hear. That's what they can smell. What can they see? Try again, Emmanuel. What can they see? The darkness. Nothing. They can hear everything. They can smell everything. They can't see anything. What a hard thing. No trees. No friends' faces. Nothing. So what do they do? What do they do? Shout. They shout. And what do they shout? Did you notice what they shouted? What did they shout?
"We want our sight."
Well, they said that, yeah. What did they shout? "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's what they shouted. I think we need some help to get a feel for what this was like, okay? So I need one volunteer who's willing to shout very loudly with me. Emmanuel, come down here then. Come here. And Veeman is going to be Jesus. Okay, Veeman, I'd like you to stand by the door over there, please. Guess what you are? You're the smelly hot crowd, aren't you? Yeah, you're the hot crowd, okay? Hang on then. So I don't mind how you do it. I just need you to make lots of noise. Okay? So chatter to each other. Here, we're going to sit here, look. And we're going to try just saying it. Should we just say it together? Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you think anybody heard? Should we say it a bit louder?
Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!
Did you... Yeah, well, exactly. Be quiet. Keep talking.
Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!
Well, Veeman, did you hear? Yes. Yeah. And the crowd did their rebuking, and they told the blind men to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, and Jesus heard them. You did a great job. You can go and sit down. Thank you. They shout because they've heard who Jesus is. They've heard that he can do amazing miracles. I wonder if these two blind men knew this verse. Maybe they'd been telling each other over and over again over the last 10 years, sitting by the roadside in the dark. They'd said to each other, don't forget, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And they've just kept on telling each other, we're going to be okay. The Lord will provide for us. He'll keep providing for us. And it might not have been a pretty life for them, but up to that point, they'd have received from the temple in Jerusalem just enough if the people there were doing their job properly. And now they've heard about Jesus' miracles. They've heard that Jesus is a great, 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 I don't know how many greats, grandson of King David. And these men, maybe they knew that one day King David's son, great grandson, was going to come along and be the king that God had promised. And so they put two and two together. They've heard the miracles. They've heard about Jesus. And so they shout at Jesus with this in their heads, perhaps, he'll help us. Son of David, Jesus, King Jesus, help. That's what mercy means. Help me. I don't deserve it. You don't have to. But please, have mercy. Help me. And so they shout that at Jesus. And I don't think... We like to think, probably, we think we wouldn't have told them to be quiet, but maybe we would. But Jesus hears. Jesus hears them. And did you notice how Jesus responds? If you can find it on page 988, the little number 32, right at the top on the right-hand side, see what Jesus does. Jesus stopped and called them. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that amazing? These two blind men have been ignored by so many people in the crowd. And when they did pipe up and make a noise, they got told to be quiet, to shut up. But Jesus, he doesn't ignore them. Jesus, he calls them. He gets them brought to him in front of everybody. He stops for them. And he looks at them and he says, what do you want me to do for you? If you only remember one thing from this morning, if you never ever come to church ever again, remember this. Jesus loves. Jesus loves to help. If that's all you ever think of, you never come to church again, but you remember that, that will be a good thing to remember for the day that you need help. Jesus loves to help. Did you see? What do you want me to do for you? If you're in a hard situation, and I know many of us are, Jesus loves to help. If you're worried and fearful about the future, Jesus loves to help. Ask him for help. What's this? The coronation. Okay, what's going on? What have we got? What can you see? People, a crowd, white horses pulling a gold coach. You can't really see, but who's in the gold coach? King Charles. Okay. imagine being in the crowd, okay, so you're stood by this police officer here with your phone out like this, you've got the Union Jack hat on, okay, that's you. The king is going past, you need some help. You shout, King Charles, help! What do the people next to you do? They laugh. Well, you're not deterred, so you shout again, King Charles, help! What happens next? maybe the person next to you says, hey, he's busy. He's too busy for you. He's too important for you. Here we are in the supermarket. Many supermarket staff are brilliant. Okay? I want that to be... That's been made very clear. I think many supermarket staff are brilliant. But maybe you've had this experience. You can't find something in the shop, so you find a member of staff, which sometimes are hard to find. But you find a member of staff, and you go up to them, and you say, hey, I'm looking for this. Can you help me find it? Sometimes it's amazing. They're like, son, aisle four, look this way, 90 degrees this way, third shelf, it's just there. Amazing. Sometimes, huh? What? Oh, it's over there somewhere. Sometimes they just don't like to help. Sometimes people say this. Jake, please can you help me? And I hope that it doesn't happen too often, but sometimes... just sometimes. Maybe it's on the inside, but sometimes that's my reaction. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus is not too important. He is very important. He's the most important human who ever lived. But he is not too important to stop and listen to these blind men, like King Charles would be. And he wants to help, not like the supermarket, that particular one, that particular member of staff, and not like me sometimes. Jesus loves to help when people come to him in need. And it's because he loves people so much. And I think we're just going to pause and we're going to sing of Jesus' wonderful love. Okay? You stand? We're going to sing of Jesus' wonderful love. And there are some actions for the verse here. And if you're able to and want to, I would like to see your most enthusiastic highs, lows, and wide. Okay? If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. Jesus' love is so high and wide and tall? Low. Low? I don't know. You can sit down. You can sit down. Jesus' love is so vast, so big, so enormous, and he shows it by showing how much he loves to help, even these two blind men. So I wonder where you go for help. Jesus would have you go to him. Just have a moment. Think of the thing that you need help with. Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's a very, very big thing. Jesus longs to help you. Ask him for help. These two blind men, maybe they prayed for years and years and years for help with their sight. Jesus doesn't promise to answer our pleas for help in exactly the way that we ask. He might do. He did with these men. But we don't know how long they waited for that help. It might be that you ask Jesus for help, and he gives help in a way that you think is not quite how you would have done it. It may be that in his wisdom, he will give better help than you could ever have imagined. And it might just look different to what you asked for. But know this, Jesus asks us this morning, what do you want me to do for you? And he longs to help us. And I think this story helps us to see two ways in which Jesus loves to help. Two ways Jesus loves to help. Well, the first one is sight. Maybe that's obvious from this story. But Jesus loves to help especially with sight. Wonder what picture I'm going to put up next to sight. Any guesses? Just one, actually. One big, very open eye. Jesus loves to help, especially with sight. Lizzie, I'm going to need you for a second. Actually, no, we're fine. Benji, Josh, can I borrow you for a minute? Are you happy to be blindfolded? No? No? Okay, anybody happy to be blindfolded? You're not going to have to move, so you won't fall over anything. Come on then, Linda. I did have a scarf, but I left it upstairs. So we're going to use the hat. Okay. Yeah. You can wear a hat or you can cover your eyes. You're going to cover your eyes. How many fingers? Great. Okay. Well, Linda, what can you hear? Can you hear my voice? Good. If I gave you a biscuit or some of that lovely cake that we had yesterday at the community open day, could you taste that? If I gave you, say I gave you some flowers right in front of your nose, could you smell those? Well, the flowers, they're right in front of you. I'd like you to just describe them for me. Oh. Life, for those two blind men, just stay there for a second, okay? I won't keep you there long. Life, for those two blind men, is like this. They can hear, they can taste, they can smell, they can talk, they can shout. They can't see anything. So they ask Jesus for help, and he does this amazing miracle because he is the maker of heaven and earth. He's the Lord the psalm speaks of. And he touches their eyes, and immediately Linda can see again. Linda, what can you hear? Can you hear my voice? Can you smell the roses? Yeah. Can you describe the roses to me? Pretty? They're pretty, aren't they? I like those. Do you get the idea? Life is completely transformed for these two men. You can sit down. Thank you for being blindfolded. Life is completely transformed. They go from darkness to light. They go from not being able to see a thing to seeing their friends' faces. Oh, I never knew you looked like that. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. They saw smiles for the first time. What a treat. They saw blue skies. They went to the market and they saw herbs and spices in hundreds of different colors. Isn't that amazing? Life is transformed for them by Jesus. Just because they asked him for help. And he loves to help, especially with sight. But as I look around the room, some of us have got glasses on. I can take my glasses off, and my eyes are a little bit sore at the moment, but I can basically read everything, and they're pretty good. Okay? Some of you, I'm sure, could probably look over there and not be able to read the thing that says Berry Street Community Church, what we believe, without your glasses. Glasses are a great provision from the Lord, or a good gift. But most of us can see, I think. None of us, as far as I know, are blind. So what has this got to do with us? Why does it matter to us that Jesus loves to help, especially with sight? Well, I wonder if you ever explain something to somebody and they go, I don't get it. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I can't really see it like that. Do you ever do that? In a similar way, Jesus loves to give sight to people who don't understand who he is. Okay, so at the top of the page on the left-hand side, you don't need to look there unless you particularly want to, but you'll just notice this if you're looking there. Jesus predicts that he's going to die and rise again. Okay, hopefully you can see that. He says, I'm going to die and rise again. And the next thing that happens is one of the disciples' mothers and the disciples say, I want to be a big chief in your kingdom. I want to be a big deal. I want a happy life. Okay, something like that, to paraphrase. They don't get it. They don't see that Jesus needs to die. And what they need is their eyes opening to see more clearly. And I think that's why this story is here. To help them and us know that we need Jesus' help with sight. Not physical sight, spiritual sight. So that when somebody says to us, Jesus died to deal with sin, you should trust him. We go, oh, that's a good idea. I was thinking of trying to help us understand this. And I wonder if you are somebody who is trusting Jesus, if you're somebody who would describe yourself as a follower of Jesus, perhaps you can remember a day, you may not be able to, but perhaps you can remember a day where you thought about Jesus and you thought, nah, what? I'm not interested. Perhaps you can remember that day. I can remember that day from about 0 to 18. If you'd have said to me, Jesus is really great, I'd have laughed at you. Okay? When somebody explained to me about Jesus, I said, that's silly. Why? I couldn't see. And what happened to me between 18 and 19? Jesus opened my eyes. He helped me to see. And so then when I thought about Jesus, when I talked about Jesus, when I heard about Jesus, I went, are you for real? Seriously? He died for me. That's my story. Maybe that helps just to explain what this looks like, why we all need sight. It might be that you're here and you think, lots of people like Jesus. I don't get it. I don't know why. What's all the fuss about? Jesus wants to give you help to see him more clearly. You can ask him for that help, and he promises to give it if you ask. Might be that you've been a Christian, that you see Jesus really clearly and you love him, but you'd love to see him more clearly. He loves to answer that prayer too. Ask him for help. He loves to help, especially with sight. But the second thing I think Jesus especially loves to help with, I don't think it's especially obvious in this story that we read, but I'm going to try and help us see why it's really important. Okay? This is the second thing I think Jesus really, really loves to help with. I think he loves to help with sight and especially with sin. Now, I know that this story doesn't talk about sin. It doesn't mention sin. But here's what got me thinking, okay? Have a look at the beginning of verse 29 again, the little number 29. Here's what got me thinking, the little number 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Now, have a look at the end of the verse 34 on the right-hand side at the top. Jesus does the miracle. He has compassion on them. He touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight. And they followed him. And then next to the big 21, as they approached Jerusalem. There's a journey going on, okay? There's a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. That's what's happening. And this story about the two blind men is like stopping at a motorway service station on route. They were going from Jericho to Jerusalem. And this is a stopping point on the way. And that got me asking, why are we going that way? Why are we going in that direction? Why? Where's Jesus going? And Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die on a cross to deal with sin. And so the whole point of the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem is because Jesus wants to help with sin. Where's Jesus going? Jerusalem. Why? The cross. See, our biggest problem isn't our sickness or our weaknesses. Our biggest problem is our sin that separates us from God. And Jesus loves to help with that too. The Bible speaks a lot about a place of darkness where people who reject Jesus, reject God, go. It's called hell. It sounds awful. But it's the place of punishment for those people who take all of God's good gifts and ignore God. And by nature, that's where we're all headed. It's a sad reality. And yet Jesus loves to help. Jesus comes. He gives sight and he gives help with sin by going to the cross and dying and taking the punishment that we deserve. Our sin, it separates us from God. But Jesus loves to help. And so he dies at the cross to deal with sin. We, by nature, on our own, as we are, we're a bit like the two blind men sat at the side of the road. Helpless. We can't save ourselves. But Jesus loves to help. Especially with sin. Wonder if you've asked Jesus to help you with your sin before. Maybe you have. You should rejoice at his capability in dealing with sin. He is... Some people are good at stuff. Okay, Miles is good at fixing things. Do you accept that that's fairly true? Reasonably true. Yeah, I think Miles is very good at fixing things. Let's say Miles is 70% good at fixing things. Okay? Lots of people are good at fixing things as well. Jesus, when it comes to sin, is the one who can fix it always, 100% of the time. Sometimes Miles can't fix stuff. When it comes to sin, Jesus loves to help and fixes it 100% of the time for everybody who asks. If you want to ask him for help with your sin, he would love to help you. It might be that you're somebody who's a Christian, you follow Jesus, and you still sin, and that's normal. But you need help to fight your sin. He loves to help with that too. He loves to give you strength and power for that too. Ask Jesus for help. This morning, Jesus comes to us all, and he says to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" I wonder what comes to mind. He wants to help you with sin. He wants to help you with sight. He wants to help you with whatever else is going on in life too. Might be that you think today is the day that you need to ask Jesus for help with your sin. Many of you will have trusted Jesus, will have asked for his help with your sin before. Might be that you are sat here, though, somebody, and you want help with your sin. You see who Jesus is and you want help. I'm going to put a prayer on the screen. I'm going to leave it there for a second for everybody to just have a glance at it. If you want to ask Jesus for help with your sin, this would be a great prayer to pray. Okay? Maybe you want to pray that. I'm just going to read it. You can make it your own. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping me to see you more clearly. I can see that I need your help with my sin. Thank you for going to the cross and taking the punishment I deserve. Please help me to keep seeing you more and more clearly. And please help me to trust you each day from today. Amen. If you pray that prayer and you want Jesus' help, he will give it. He loves to help.